Church, the Lord is returning. The Lord is coming. Mark says, in the book of Mark, he says he's going to be coming in power and in glory. The Lord is returning soon. Therefore, we must stay awake, the Bible says. We need to stay awake. We need to be vigilant. We need to be on alert. The Lord is returning. On that day, the Bible says that actually the heavens are going to open up. There's going to be a moment in history when everybody is going to know the heavens will open up, Christ will descend on a cloud, and he's not going to be this meek and mild Jesus as people think he is. He's going to descend on a cloud, and he's going to come and judge the living and the dead, and the Bible says that on that day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That includes Satan, the demonic, wayward teenagers, parents, your boss, rich, poor, everybody is going to confess that he is Lord on that day. You're either going to do it on your own accord or you're going to do it by force, unfortunately. Every knee is going to have to bow. Jesus is coming. Therefore, we must stay awake. We must be alert, the Bible says. Be vigilant. Be watchful because he is coming. But the problem with this is that we know that Christ is returning. We know that he is coming. But the problem is my own heart. That's what the problem is. My heart so easily wanders. It's so easily distracted. There's a hymn that says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Sheree prayed this morning such a beautiful prayer. She said, Lord, even in my own faithlessness, I'm not here this morning because I'm perfect. I am so sinful. But Christ is the faithful one. He is the one that keeps me. But it's my heart that is so easily strayed, man. I can have these mountaintop experiences with Christ. You know those moments where you think, I'm never going to be the same again. And you have this real intimate relationship with Christ and you enjoy his presence. And sometimes you feel like, you know, it's like you have this unquestionable determination to fulfill his will. And then there's moments where it's just like the Lord's just not even in the frame of your mind. And you just wonder. Your heart just wanders. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. This is believers. We're not talking about out there. We're talking about believers. We, you, me, our hearts tend to wonder. The Bible says that your heart is, man, it's deceitful. You know, your heart can grow callous. Your heart can grow cold. And this is, it's so terrible. It's such a terrible place to be in. And in these moments of mediocrity, how many of us know it's just so easy to blame other people? It's so easy to blame things out there, eh? You know, Donald Trump, you know, the government, business is not booming. You know, sorry, Derek. You know, there's just all these reasons. I can't, you know, Ella's keeping us up all night. You know, I'm so tired and whatever the case is. Just life, you know. Man, but if you come to the hard truth, if you look yourself in the mirror, the brass tacks, man. If you honestly just assess yourself, there's moments where we've just lost our first love. We've just missed it. You just look yourself honestly and you say, I've just lost it. I'm no longer passionate for the things I once was passionate for. I'm no longer zealous for the things that I once was zealous for. I have fallen asleep. Oh, Lord, help us, eh? Jesus, help us this morning. Church, have you fallen asleep? Are you awake? The Bible says that we need to stay awake. Are you awake? Have you forgotten that Christ is returning? He is coming. He is coming. Or are you like the disciples? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they fell asleep, Jesus warned them. come and pray, be watchful, pray. And they fell asleep, and because they fell asleep, they drifted into sin. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead. Awake, O sleeper, that's Christ to us this morning, and arise from the dead. Would Christ wake us up this morning in Jesus' name? Would he wake us up? Christ is returning. The Bible actually calls us sojourners. We are exiles. This is not our permanent residency. He is actually coming back. And so we need to be awake because we have, Christ is returning, and we need to position ourselves in such a way, we need to think in such a way of Christ returning. He is coming back. Therefore, I need to be ready. The title of this preach this morning is Stay Awake, Church. Are you awake? Stay awake. Stay awake. We are in the book of Matthew. You can go to Matthew chapter 24. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew was one of the disciples. He was an apostle. He wrote the book. He was actually a tax collector before that, his prior job. And tax collectors back in the day they weren't good people. You know, the Bible actually says it's quite interesting when they would say that Jesus would eat, you know, with sinners. They would actually say you eat with sinners and tax collectors. Apparently, tax collectors were so bad, there was like a distinction. So clearly, they were just terrible people. Okay, so we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. I see some, there are some auditors, and I see Frank. Whenever the auditors come to us, I'm thinking, oh, yes. Going to be 3 months. They're going to ask me all these questions. Fred, why is it the fourth coffee today? You know, why? Anyways, we love you, auditors. Don't worry. Okay. Matthew chapter 24. So these are, Jesus is just about to end his ministry. And so these are his final words. So when people obviously, they're in their final times, their last words are very important. So we need to take heed about what he's saying. He's talking to his disciples here. In Matthew chapter 24, and we're in verse 42. Matthew chapter 24, 42, verse 44. It's the first book of the New Testament. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Stay awake. That's the title of this preach. So to be awake, as Charles Spurgeon says, basically means to be asleep. To be asleep, he says, means to be unaware. It means to be inactive, and it means to be defenseless. So to be asleep means to be unaware, it means to be inactive, and it means to be defenseless. Unaware in that you just zoned out to God. You zoned out to his heart, his voice. You know, you just zoned out to who he is, his promptings, the Holy Spirit, you zoned out to that. I catch myself sometimes, you know, you just zoned out to who he is, his promptings, you're just going about your day. That's what it means to be unaware. Inactive means that you're not doing or found doing the work of Christ. You're not doing his work. You might be doing other work, but you're not doing his work, his will, what he wants to accomplish. And two means, and defenseless means that you're vulnerable. You're left vulnerable. You've taken off the armor of God. You open to the schemes of the evil one. You open to the attacks of the evil one. You are defenseless. A sleeping man is a defenseless man. You can't defend yourself while you're asleep. So Christ here is warning his disciples that they need to stay awake. They need to be aware. They need to be active, doing his work. And they need to put on the armor. They need to be aware of what he is saying. You see, the world would say all sorts of things. They would say things like, why didn't you just sit down? You know, why didn't you just sit down on the couch of popularity and status? Why didn't you just sit down here? And then they would say, well, why did you just get onto the bed of comfort and convenience. And you're going to think, oof, that's nice. And you're going to start yawning. You're going to start getting sleepy. Then Satan will say, why don't you put on the duvet of self-gratification? And eventually, before you know it, man, you're asleep. I mean, listen, right now it's winter, and getting up out of bed, listen, it's like those bed sheets have got you fussed, you know. You wake up, and it's pitch black, and everything in you is like, you got to stay in that bed, man. It's like your one toe sticks out, and it's like, oh, man, it's just tough getting out of bed. But that's what it's like, man, when you're in self-gratification, the duvet of self-gratification, comfort, convenience, and you start falling asleep. The Lord would say, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead. We need to wake up, church. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. He is returning for his bride. And we need to be ready. Are you unaware? Are you inactive? Are you defenseless? Christ is saying you need to wake up, church, this morning. Let's be aware of his return. So in this parable, or in this illustration where Christ is talking, we're not certain about when he is coming. But we know that he is coming. He is going to return. He is going to return. And so therefore we must be ready. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 25 now. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 13. It's a long parable here. It's a parable of the 10 virgins. You can page there or go there on your phone or whatever. If you're there, say, hey. If you're not there, say, hang on a second. Okay, Matthew 25, 1 to 13. The parable of the 10 virgins. Then the kingdom of heaven, we actually were doing a series recently on the kingdom. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took up their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, and those who were ready, and those who were ready went in to the marriage feast, and the doors were shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord." Hey, we've heard that before somewhere. "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour." Okay, so this is a similar concept that the people in that age would have known what it was. Jesus is describing like a marriage procession. So back in those days, people were betrothed. It's not like nowadays we have engagement. They had, you know, like arranged marriages. It's quite funny. Ever since I've had Ella, arranged marriages don't seem so bad. I'm just saying. Okay. So they were betrothed. being betrothed was like, it was way more than just being engaged. Like nowadays, you actually had to get like a divorce to break your betrothal. And so what would happen back in those days, you would be betrothed and then the groom would need to prepare a place for his future bride. And then when the place was ready, he would go to the bride's house and fetch the bride. And then there would be a procession in the streets at night. There'd be a procession in the streets at night. And then they would come back to the place. And then they would have a marriage feast. That's really how the procession went. And because it was at night, they had to have these lamps. And these lamps were filled with oil because they needed, obviously, to watch where they were going. And only those who had the lamps could join the procession because, you know, you can just be an outsider, you know, these bandits, etc. And so if you didn't have it, you couldn't come. And so this is what Jesus is describing here. He's describing this sort of marriage feast procession. And in it we see, we have these 10 virgins or 10 bridesmaids. Five of them are described as wise and five are described as foolish. And then we also have five who have enough oil and five who don't have. And we hear that all of them fall asleep. And eventually then a cry comes out because the groom is here to fetch everybody. So a cry goes out and then they shuffle and try to get things ready. The foolish try and get things ready. But because they didn't have oil, they couldn't go with. So in this parable, actually, Jesus is talking to the visible church. So he's talking to Christians. So that's us this morning. He's speaking to us, Oxygen Life Church. He's speaking to us. And it's really challenging, again, like I said. And there's three things that I just want to point out here in this parable. There's three things I want to point out. First and foremost, there are only two groups. There's only two groups. You have the wise and the foolish. You have the five who had oil and the five who didn't. You have the five who went in and the five who were shut out. There isn't a third group. There isn't a third group. This is why it's so challenging. You're either saved or not saved. You're either in the church or not in the church. You're either lukewarm or you're either hot or cold. You cannot be lukewarm, the Bible says. There's not a third option. Oh, man. May the Lord help us, eh? You can't be a fence sitter. Where are you, church? Which group are you a part of? The Lord is asking the hard questions this morning. Which group are you a part of? Number two, the midnight hour does not create character, it reveals it. The midnight hour doesn't create character, it reveals it. There were 10 bridesmaids. All of them were a part of a church. All of them were part of 412. All of them went to Bible study, community groups. All of them did all the right things. But some of them loved the benefits of the church and didn't actually love God. Some of them loved the benefits. They loved, you know, the meal trains. They loved the kids ablaze. They loved the coffee. Where's my father-in-law? Andy is on the coffee team there. I always say when he's on the sales here at Oxygen Life Church and coffee morning goes up, you know. Makes the best coffee. They love all that stuff, but they don't love Jesus. Listen, in this life we can fool everyone. Everyone. Do you remember the Pharisees? They were the religious people of the day. You can fool the church. You can fool your wife. You can even fool yourself. But you can't pull the wool over God's eyes. You can't fool the Lord. And that's, you have to ask yourself the tough questions. We're not here to play church. You can come here and stand here in the front and put your hands up and wave your hands, but do you love the Lord? Do you love Christ? Do you genuinely love His church? Do you love His word? That's the questions that I've been asking myself. It's so easy. You know, we had that Bible verse that came here this morning, Revelations 1:3. I know your works, says the Lord. You have a reputation of being alive. A reputation is something that you've built up over time. You have a reputation of being alive, but in Revelations 1:3 it says, but you are actually dead. Listen, you can have a whole reputation. People can know you as, oh, you that guy. You the, fill in the blank, you that lady. But you are dead. I've been saying to myself recently, listen, I don't hear what I'm not saying, but like, it doesn't actually matter what people think about me. I'd rather get to eternity and people think I love Christ this much, but I actually love him this much, than for the reverse to happen. I want to love Christ genuinely. I want to, when I say I love the Lord, I love his word, I love prayer, I want to reach the lost, I want that to be my testimony. Do you love him? Do you genuinely love him? And now you have to ask yourself, the Lord is providing us grace this morning. Listen, you have to ask yourself the tough questions. He's given us grace. There is a time. There is a time, but there will be a time when there won't be any more time anymore. And thirdly, preparations must be done now. Preparations must be done now. As the great philosopher Snoop Dogg once said, he says, I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. Those are some wise words. Listen, you must be ready today. Not tomorrow, get ready today. Are you right with Christ today? Get right with Christ today. I remember, I'm sure we can all remember COVID. That was a terrible time, man. Yesterday, you know, people, oh my word, you know, we were cramped in our houses. I'm sure we all want to forget about it. And then remember, Wurm Cyril said that it was only, well, it was level 5 lockdown. And then people like, it's going to pass over, don't worry. You know, it's only like a cold or something like that. So because I thought it was going to be very quick, I said, okay, well, might as well go visit my parents in Joburg. So I went there thinking, oh, it's only going to be like a week. Oh my goodness, was I wrong, you know? We were all there. You know, I mean, we were losing it in COVID. You know, we were like, remember, we're doing like marathons in our living room. You know, people like exercising, doing all those TikTok dances. And I can remember then he released it, or he loaded it to level 4. And he said, or there was a law that said if you were basically, it was like if you were stranded in another province, you could drive back to your original province. And you had a period of 7 days to do it in. You had a period of 7 days to do it in. So I was like, listen, when I heard that announcement, I was like, parents, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. As much as I love them, they're great. They're fantastic. And so I don't know why I left it to the last minute. I left on day number 7. Oh, my word. It was an absolute disaster. So I had to get an Avis car from Joburg. And for some reason, so my mother, she booked it, I think, on her name. And when I went to the Avis car in the morning, backtrack a little bit. So you had 7 days to do it in. And you had to make it by midnight. And they had, like, blockade of security and, you know, all those people at the province borders. So now it was, like, whatever, I had to leave early in the morning, went to the Avis place. My mother's the one that booked it, but I came and I needed to pay for it, and they said, the name of this person doesn't match the credit card, so we can't give it to you. So I said, no, man, come on, guys, you're being ridiculous, you know, whatever. They said, sorry, won't work. So then my mother didn't have her bank card there either, and she dropped me off. So now we had to go to the bank to get a card for her because her bank card was expired. And basically, the long story short is that whole excursion, like, delayed me by 2 hours. So now I'm, like, trying to race against the clock. I'm trying to make it by midnight. And when I was, I mean, I've driven to Joburg and from P to Joburg and back a couple of times. So this is the first time I did it just on my ace. When I was chatting to people, everyone said, Fred, do not go through Graafenet. because of the buck. I said, sharp, don't worry. Then everyone said, okay, don't go through Graafenet, don't go through Graafenet. Annie said, don't go through Graafenet. Jessica's grandfather said, don't go through Graafenet. And Jessica's grandfather is one of those guys that phones you every hour to check if you're okay. Are you fine, Fred? Yes, I'm right, all right. Are you fine, Fred? Yes, I'm right, all right. So I'm busy driving. Now I'm racing against the clock, racing against the clock. Now there's trucks on this road. So I'm thinking, oh, yes, okay. Okay, now I'm getting worried. It's getting dark. You know, it's trying to get dark. I'm also like falling asleep. So I get out the car, do push-ups, run around the car, get back in the car. And then I see the sign, Graafenet. So then I remember, okay, they said, don't go in Graafenet because of the buck. I said, shup, don't go into Graafenet. But there was a turn off. So Graafenet was going this way, and then there was another turn off. So they said, don't go to Graafenet. And the turn off was a dirt road. So I said, I don't know, man, this looks a little bit dodgy. But everyone said, don't go through Graafenet. I said, okay, well, then I took the left there. And I'm driving and I'm thinking, oh, this doesn't look right. And at this time, it's dark. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving. Then I see their buck around me. And I'm thinking, this can't be the right place. And then I found myself, there was like a gate. And I realized I was in someone's farm. So I'm thinking, oh, yesterday, what's happening now? I tried to look on Google Maps. There's no signal where I am. And then Jessica's grandfather phones. I don't answer the phone. I just put it down. And so I'm thinking, I'm looking on my Google Maps. There's no signal, but you can kind of see where you are. So I'm trying to maneuver myself away. Eventually, I get onto some sort of main road. Now I'm really racing to get back. It was like, I don't know, I think I made it by like 10 or 15 minutes or whatever the case is. It was hectic. But the fact is that there was a cutoff, and if I didn't make it, I don't know what would have happened. But there was a cutoff. Church, there's a cutoff for all of us here. Eventually, there won't be enough time. Christ is returning. Are you right with him?